Dearest brethren, God bless you. We are again at the live broadcast with Brother Joseph. Today's message is, how can we be disciples for Jesus? The beautiful thing Angela is saying, that many of you, dear brethren, write to us, a lot of you, that you want to dedicate yourself to Jesus. You want to dedicate yourself to Jesus. You are young and you are old, some 7 years old, and you say, I want to be a disciple of Jesus. And it's so, so wonderful. I want to tell you that there is even a brother of 82 years old that says, I want a Bible course, I want to grow in Jesus, I want to be a disciple of God. And he's 82. It's amazing. It's amazing. He wants to do the Bible course. You see, it's never too late to be a disciple for Jesus. And that's wonderful, very inspiring to hear your news and see your desire, dear brethren, that you want to grow in Jesus. And about this we want to talk about. How can you be a disciple of Christ? Especially for many of you, like I said, some of you have family, you have a job, but you're part of a world to whom you feel you don't belong to, and you want to belong to Christ. So we're going to talk about it today. We're going to talk about this today. Thank you, Lord. It's a little message that Jesus gave me, Brother Joseph is saying. Do we want to be religious or disciples? Do we want to be the bride of Christ, the church bride, or the church religious? Laodicea or Philadelphia? What do we want to be? The question is, after you receive the salvation of Christ, the next decision is very important. Are we going to go sleep on a church bench? Religious? Or are we going to be disciples? This is a decision I have to take. Each one of us. Angela's saying, yeah. Because many people believe once I reach salvation, that's it. I have Jesus in my heart, that's it. I go to heaven and that's it. And I have my goal in life, that's it. Joseph is saying that... Also, there are religions who say you're not sure of your salvation. So therefore, you need to go to church every other week so you can have the hope to stay saved, which is not true. These are lies. Once you are saved, you're always saved. In the Bible course, the first step talks about salvation. It's explained with the scriptures that you cannot lose salvation, okay? You cannot stay in doubt all your life. Oh, do I go to hell or do I not go to hell? No, you are saved. Once saved, truly, you are forever saved, if you're truly saved. Let's go evangelizing now, okay? And tell others about salvation. It would have been silly for God to send Jesus if the salvation was not internal. Why did he die on the cross for? Just so we can doubt all our lives if we are saved or not? Let's go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, it's an important message. Once you're saved, what happens? Matthew 13, Jesus talks about it. Let's read 8 and 9, verse 8 and 9. Matthew 13, 8 and 9. Matthew 13, 8 and 9. But other fall into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. It's very clear, huh? Jesus says that many of the seeds are wasted, but a part of the seeds go on good ground and brings fruit. But even the fruit they bring, they are in different levels. 100, 60, 30, 99, or 100. This is exactly like the churches today, with different fruit levels. So after we receive the salvation, the next step, which is it? It's not a salvation that means you arrived. It's not that you arrived and then that's it. After we know Jesus, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. What is the following step after the salvation? Many brethren wonder, how can I please Jesus 100% but in the same time I have a family to take care of? What do we do? Well, Joseph is answering, my greatest decision... My greatest decision which I had to do in life after salvation, I had to take a great decision with my family, my earthly family. My loyalty was put in question. Would I be loyal to my parents or to God? Where do I make the separation between God and my flesh family? I had to make a choice in my loyalty. Do I love God? I am loyal to Him 100% or to my family? So basically, after salvation, you need to decide. Do you give to God the minimum or you give to God the maximum? Basically, that's the most important question. Do you give your best or the least to God after you are saved? There are religions that preach it's enough you give a smile. It's enough you give a smile around to people. That's enough. That's evangelizing, smiling around. That's not enough. Smiling is not enough. A Hindu smile. You need to say the word, Jesus, Jesus. The power is in the name of Jesus. Okay? There is a power in the name of Jesus. I mean, there are advertisements with ladies that smile. That doesn't mean that they are evangelizing. You evangelize by naming Jesus, not just smiling. Otherwise, even a lady in an advertisement can smile, and that's it. If you don't mention the name of Jesus, that's not evangelizing, okay? Just like the Pope today. The Pope today hardly ever mentions Jesus. He mentions it very little compared to all the rest of the silly stuff he says. It's amazing. I had to choose. Well, after I got saved, I had to choose. If I give God the minimum or the maximum. Okay? I want to tell you, make a parenthesis, I have nothing against the Catholics. God loves everybody. Catholics, Protestants, it doesn't matter, okay? What's important that you all follow Jesus 100%. That's what's important, not the religion. God loves all of you, all the Christians. Doesn't matter what, doesn't matter where you belong. To God, it doesn't matter where you belong. God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. Amen. What's important is the heart. There is a actual priest that writes to us, Alberto, and he says, I am very inspired by your love for Jesus, and I'm so happy to hear your messages because you show me the love of Jesus, and your love for Jesus is contagious. And like this, I feel I'm not the only one in the world that loves Jesus with all their heart. And because I found you, I'm so happy. And I feel we are true brothers. This is what this priest Alberto sent to us. And he said, tonight at my Mass, I'm going to pray for you. I love you, Jesus. What a wonderful, inspiring message. So inspiring. Thank you, Jesus. God loves everybody, truly. He truly looks at the heart. It really looks at the heart. It doesn't matter the religion. See? What a beautiful priest. What a beautiful priest.
So we talked about Matthew 13. Matthew 13. 160-30%. Let's read the next scripture the Lord gave me. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. Let's read. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. Jesus is very rigorous concerning this, okay? Concerning what? Concerning giving maximum or minimum. What do we give, maximum or minimum? What do? We give everything to the world. We give our word. We give our loyalty to the world. And then to Jesus, what? A couple of hours a week and that's it? We just give him a couple of hours a day. We don't even give him the whole day. But the rest, all our loyalty, all our effort goes to the world. So do we give minimum or maximum to Jesus? 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. Look what Jesus talks through. Paul. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. According to what we sow, we will reap in the Spirit. So when I started to walk with Jesus, I understood that my works, like it says in Matthew 7, I understood that my works would show to God my decision. Which was my decision? If my decision truly was to give my heart to God or to the world? If my decision was truly to put God first or the world first? My works would have shown my decision. Matthew 7, 16 and 17. Matthew 7, 16, 17. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?
Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So the fruits will show what we truly decided. More than words. Fruits will show more than our words. Oh, my faith is like this. My faith, I believe, I have faith. Well, faith without works is dead. I understood that when I gave my heart to Jesus, I understood that my works will show where my faith what truly was. I started to study the Word and to preach it, and I knew that God will look at my fruits. I understood that God will look at how much I give to God, how much heart, time, love would I have given to God. I knew God would look at that by my fruits, and God would know it. God would know it by my fruits, how much love and time I would give to God. Malachi 1:8. If you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy present, thy person? Offer it unto the governor. Will he be pleased and accept thy person, says the Lord of hosts, Malachi 1:8. Let's read 13. You said also, behold, what a weariness it is. And you have snuffed at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you brought to me that which was torn and lame and sick. This is what you bring as an offering. Should I accept this offering of your hand, says the Lord? So God is telling me, you're giving me what, sick and lame in sacrifice? It's like God telling you, you're giving me garbage. It's just like the Satanists. They go and steal somebody's kid, and then they sacrifice it to Satan. Why don't they offer their own kid? So God is telling the Hebrews here, you are giving me lame and sick animals. You are not offering me much. That's the sacrifice you give me, and you want me to be pleased with it? So basically, I want to tell you this. When I got saved, God asked me, are you going to sacrifice to me the best of your life or the worst of your life? Will you give me the lame of your life, the least possible, or will you give me your best, the best animal? What will you sacrifice to me? God asked me. Would you give me what's sick or what's the best? This is the question God asked me after I got saved. Well, Angela is saying, the brethren are asking us, how can I give myself to Jesus 100%, being a disciple 100%, but in the same time I live in the world and I work in the world? How do I do? Can I live in the world and work but still be the bride? Can I still be the bride? Can I still be the bride? The brethren are asking. Joseph is saying, wow, wonderful question. So the question is, can I be a disciple and the bride of Christ while I still work in the world? Well, I can only tell you this, Joseph says. The bride of Christ can still be the bride if it's really necessary. If it's necessary that you really work in the world, but you don't want to, but you have to, but then yes, you can still be the bride of Christ. It all depends on where your heart is. Where is your heart? What is the loyalty of your heart? Let's read Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Through this scripture, it looks like you cannot work in the world. Well, there is a moment you can work in the world, like Jesus was a carpenter until he was 30. But then he exploded for God with the Holy Spirit, and he went fully for God. So work in the world if you really need to, but if you have the faith to live by faith for Christ, then do it, okay? If you are forced to work in the world, fine, but in your heart, make sure you don't serve two masters, okay? If you are in the world, don't serve two masters. In your heart, serve God fully. You can use your talents for God, your position, your work, whatever. You can use your talents for... If you work in the world, how do you use the talents of your work? Your priority is to use the talents of your work for God and the blessings you have out of your work for God, or you use your salary or whatever blessings you have from your work for yourself. Do you use it for God or do you use it for yourself? You use your talents, the talents of your work, for Jesus, or for the world, to be better in the world, to prosper more in the world. What do you use your talent for? Jesus or the world? Let's say you cannot do without the work. You have to have a work. But you use your work for Christ, for your evangelization. I don't know if I explained myself very well. I'm just saying, I think it is clear. Even if you have to go work, in your heart you are fully for Christ and you use your work for Christ until you're going to be full heart for Jesus, to the point that you even have the faith not to work but to live for Christ fully, 100%, like I do. Just be very careful that your work doesn't take the place of God, and then the blessing of your work, you use it for yourself instead of using it for the kingdom of God. There is a scripture in Matthew 6:21. It says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's a beautiful scripture, that. What is your treasure? It's amazing that it says where your treasure is, the heart is. It doesn't say where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. It's a wonderful scripture. If your treasure is there, your heart will be with your treasure. If your treasure is Jesus, you're going to use your work for Jesus and for the kingdom. Angela is saying, Brother Gianluca wrote the following: isn't it enough as a testimony to God that I give work to my workers and I use my prosperity to help those families of the people who are employed for me? Isn't this a good enough example for Christ? Isn't this a good enough sample of Christ? That I use my work to help my workers. I use the prosperity of my work to give good salaries to my employees. Isn't that enough? Well, according to the scriptures, no, it's not enough. It's not enough. And I'll give you some scriptures, dear brother. Luke 14:33, it says, he who doesn't forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So you have to abandon everything, forsake all, to be his disciple. According to scriptures, it's not enough what you're saying, Gianluca. Any of you who forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Either you forsake your work or you take out your heart from your work. You cannot serve two masters, okay? So basically, don't use your work as the fact that, well, that's my service to God. My service to God is that I'm a good boss and I give food to my employees, so that's enough. Well, you know how Paul did? Paul, for a little time, he built tents, but he used those money from the building of the tents to use the money for the evangelization. That's what Paul did. He used the money he made with the tents to evangelize. With your work, you should, yes, sustain your family, but also the kingdom of God, okay? Your work should be for the gospel, okay? Not for yourself. And your work shouldn't be instead of the evangelizing. Don't get confused. Your work should finance your gospel work, okay? Out of your work should come soul saved and Jesus preached. Out of your work should come fruits for Christ and for the kingdom. Let's read what are the fruits in the gospel. Let's see the fruits in the gospel. What are the fruits of the gospel? Matthew 10, from 1 to 9. Well, let's read verse 1. And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. It doesn't say here, he gave them power to go and be an insurance company. He gave them power to go and sell flowers. He gave them power to go and sell screwdrivers. Okay, it's fine if you use your work for the Lord and to support the evangelization work.
the true gospel of God is to cast out demons and to heal the sick and preach the gospel. Verse 6, Bogorada to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So the gospel is not working in the world, but seeking the lost sheep. Seeking the lost sheep. God wants you to do that. God wants you to do that. Go to find the lost sheep. You know, maybe you have a shop selling flowers, but anybody who comes into your shop flower, you preach the gospel, and you prayed with people, and you rebuke the devil, and you heal the sick in your shop. And then, yes, that's wonderful. In that case, your work is also evangelism. Your fruits, though, need to be what Matthew 10:1 say. Let's continue with Matthew 10. 8 and 9. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, don't provide gold. Silver means euro, dollars, and pesos. People are going to say, I don't have gold and silver or brass. Dear brethren, who don't have a job, you don't need gold or silver. You know what? Go to Radio Blast. Go to Radio Blast. Download all the tracks and CDs that are there. And go and pass the hat. And you'll have some donations. Don't worry. God will provide. So you can have a job for Christ. Let's read also Matthew 4:21-22. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their brother, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the sheep and their father and followed him. Wow, they immediately left the sheep and the father and followed Jesus. Matthew 4:21-22. This is scripture for all of you, that the best thing is to follow Jesus. That is the best way to forsake all and leave the sheep and the father and the world and follow Jesus full heart. That's the best. That's the number one. That's the best. You know what? You don't need to wait for a sign for this. It's already in the gospel. It's written in the gospel. If in your heart you have the desire to give your heart to Jesus, that's the sign you have already. The desire in your heart and the gospel who tells you to do it. You don't need more signs than that. Go, 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 go for Jesus. Go for Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So if you feel the desire to give all to Jesus, if you have the faith, then leave the sheep and the father and the sheep and all the fish and follow Jesus. Imagine how the father felt. Oh, how good. How good. My son left. Now I'm going to be left alone with all the work. He probably screamed of joy, right? No, probably not. Most surely not. It was more like Luke 9:57. Luke 9:62, the parents were not very happy. I want to talk a little bit about how you can have a job for Jesus, though. For a while, we were doing, for example, programs in schools. We were talking about the values in schools, and at the end, we were talking with the children about Jesus, and we were praying with all of them to receive Jesus. It was one way to support our gospel work. At the end, the school was giving us donations for the program we were doing. There were times, sometimes, that we were doing also animations for kids with clowns and so on. We were doing, we were putting songs, nice songs with values with the children. We were playing with them. And at the end, we were receiving a donation for the animations we were doing for the children. And like this, we were able to finance our gospel work. But we were not working for the world. We were actually
working whatever we were doing, just like Paul making tents. We were doing whatever we were doing, we were doing it with a message, with Jesus. To the kids in school, we're giving messages of values. And like this, you are financing yourself still. You're financing yourself still through your gospel work. We were supporting ourselves with these projects. That's one idea that the brethren can do. Sometimes we were going to school and we were showing ourselves as artists, but at the end we were giving the gospel. So, but we had to learn how to do it, because in the beginning we were putting too much gospel into the program in the school, so we had to go more mild. We had to show more, let's say, activities, whatever, and not start with Jesus right away, because they will say, well, you didn't come here to preach the gospel. So we were talking about educational things in the beginning, how to love each other, how to respect each other, values. And like that, at the end, we were giving the answer, which was Jesus.
So it's important you present yourself as artist. You tell them you're a Christian, but you say you're an artist. You're an artist and you want to talk about values. This is one idea, brethren, that you can finance your gospel work. So we were going in the schools and we were showing the program and we were putting songs. We're putting nice songs for the kids. Nothing too Christian. But then you break the ice with something nice, some nice music, and they like it. Not Christian music, but nice music with values. And the kids were liking it, and then you're making friends. You're making friends with them and whatnot, and the kids were liking it. And at the end, you're bringing up a little gospel theater. One thing we were doing is funny magic tricks. Magic tricks. Funny magic tricks we learned. We learned some funny magic tricks. Not black magic, but let's say funny things. And at the end, we were always showing the trick to the kids. So we were also breaking the ice with that. And then the kids liked it a lot. And then at the end, we were giving the gospel message. This is another idea you can use. This is living by faith. Everything to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9. Becoming one with the people. Becoming one with the people so I can win them to Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. To win them to Christ. Brethren, I tried them all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes! Grazie, Gesù. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go on to the next. We are telling you these things, brethren, not to sound the trumpet, how good we are, we're not, but just to teach you how to be fruitful for God. Those who don't have a job, you can find a job, you can do something for Christ, and you can evangelize, okay? Find a way. You don't have a job, say, thank you, Jesus. I am so blessed. I don't have a job. I am blessed. I am blessed. I don't have a job, and I have all the time free. I don't have any time. I have all the time in the world free. Take a pack of gospels and go evangelizing. Go. Get going for Jesus. So this is for the brethren who feel that they want to be 100% for God, like disciples. But the majority of our brethren, they still need to have a job and take care of their family and follow Jesus also. And this is the problem often. So how is it possible to do both? Serve God and, for example, also he who has the job, to also be loyal to God and to their employees. How can they do both? Well, loyalty goes to God, number one. Loyalty goes to God, number one. Even if you say, oh, I will work here for the next 10 years, but God calls you somewhere else, well, you need to be loyal to God. You cannot be loyal to the world more than to God. You know that any contract in the world can be broken? You do a renting contract. Something happens and you can break it. Never say, I gave my word to the world and I cannot follow Jesus because I gave my word to the world. The loyalty goes to Jesus, okay? That's what a disciple is, with the loyalty to Jesus. In Matthew 4, when Jesus called the four disciples, James, John, Peter, and Andrew, the four brothers, all four of them in Matthew 4, all four brethren, they forsook the Father and the work and the sheep and the fish and especially the work, and they followed Jesus immediately. So their loyalty, they had to change their loyalty from the sheep and the fish and the Father to Jesus. They switched it. You cannot say, well, I gave my word to this bank, I have to work here for another 8 months and 10 months because I promised to the director. I promised him that I will help him make money. Jesus comes and says, forsake the sheep and the Father and follow me. Even the director, forsake him. But I gave him my word. Well, the first word, you have to give it to Jesus. Well, I gave it also to the world. Well, then ask forgiveness. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I gave you my word. But I am a Christian. I'm a Christian. I need to follow God. If you want to be the bride of Christ, okay? Otherwise, you are just the bride of that bank. You are married with that factory, and that's it. You're married with your work, and that's it. You cannot be the bride of Christ and be more loyal to the world than to God. This guy left their father and the sheep and the fish and the pan. They forsook it, the pan to fry the fish. Probably the mother was there too, and maybe a sister also, and the brethren and the neighbors who probably said, but your kids went crazy. They forsook you. They're not loyal to you. How come they're not loyal to you? Are you joking? What disloyal children you have? What are they called? It's called John and James, Peter and Andrew. How disloyal. They forsook their father who's crying tears now. Who's going to fish the fish? Who's going to sell the fish? Where will you find the money for the rent? You brethren who give more loyalty to the director of the bank, you are not the bride of Christ. But you can become. You can become. Well, what's important is that we always put God first. Even the good things need to be secondary. Because forsaking a father, it's a difficult thing. It's a good thing, a father and a mother. It's a good thing. But these things need to always come after Jesus. These things need to come after Jesus, okay? The father, the mother, and everything need to come after Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But if I forsake my director now, he'll be without a worker. Well, he'll have to take care of himself. Tell him that your own boss, it's Jesus now, not the boss. He's not the boss anymore, but God is your boss. Tell him that. Romans 7, from 2 to 6. For the woman which has an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she loosed from the law of her husband. What does they have to do? What does this have to do with the message? Okay, let's read 4 also.
My brethren, you also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, and that we should bring forth fruit unto God. 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. Romans 7, 2, 4, and 6. Paul here is giving a message on loyalty. Here it says that the woman which is married, she can be married to another. Well, if he dies, if the husband dies, then yes, she can be married to another. Then she is free from the law. And then he says, we are dead in Christ, and we can be married to another, to him who raised from the dead. To Christ, we can be married. Romans 7, 4. We can be married to Jesus. If the husband dies, she is free, the woman. Verse 7, you are become dead to the, excuse me, verse 4, you are become dead to the law that you should be married to another, to Christ. So if you made a contract that you are married with a husband or a wife, or you have a contract that you work in a bank, or you work in a factory, that contract can be broken because now you're following Jesus Christ. If you made a contract that you will follow the father and the sheep and the fish, and you're loyal to the parents, and a perfect stranger comes along, but it's his name is Jesus, then you can abandon the sheep and the boat, so you can follow Jesus. If it's Jesus you're going to follow. The contract which Jesus made on the Calvary with you, it's higher than any other contract you made. It's higher than any of the contracts you made. Jesus' contract on the cross for you. So here he's talking about loyalty. Is it clear? If the husband dies, even if the husband dies, you can be married to another. Paul interprets that, verse 4. You are dead to the law through the body of Christ, so you can be married to another. Verse 6. Now we are delivered from the law, being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Forsake fish, father, mother, and the cousins who will for sure not agree with you, so you can follow Jesus. I mean, in the world, they go in the convents, right? Why we cannot follow Jesus? Let's read also the following scripture. Hebrews 11. 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he has come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The reward is Jesus. So Moses refuses to be a prince of Egypt, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Imagine what a contract Moses had with the Pharaoh. Wow. Our loyalty goes to Jesus if we are the bride of Christ. The bride, the first loyalty of the bride of Christ goes to what? To the grandma, to the grandpa, to the factory, to the bank. Where is your loyalty? If you are the bride of Christ, where is your loyalty? If you are the bride, you are loyal to your husband, and your husband is Jesus. So you forsake your factory and your boat and the fish and the dead, and you follow Jesus. Matthew 4:19. Glory to God. Shall we talk about some rewards? Let's talk about rewards, yes. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how much you serve the world and you're loyal to the world. It doesn't matter how much you serve the world. The reward in the world for you is death. The world lives in death, without Christ, in sin. So even if you were the most faithful slaves of the world, the wages of your sin would be death in the world. And it will be the loss of all the rewards Christ has for you and all the riches. You will lose the riches of Christ if you follow the world. The world means death. If you follow the world, it means death. Mark 8:34-38. And when he called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall also the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Mark 8:34-38. Amen. So be careful where you put your loyalty. Because it says at the end, the God of this world is the devil, and the wages of this death and the reward of this world is the death. Everything dies in this world, but the gift of God is eternal life. We haven't understood anything if you are more faithful to the world than to Christ. One can work, okay, fine, as much as he wants, but his work has to finance God and the kingdom, and he needs to work for God through his work, okay? Psalm 73. You look in the world and you see people that they seem happy and that they have everything they have. And then we sometimes fall into the trap of jealousy. We fall into the trap of jealousy. Oh no, they have the best computer. They have the last model of the phone. They have a Ferrari. Oh wow. They are living in Hollywood. Oh wow, they have this and they have that. The world. Let's see what God says about the world. Psalm 73:12-28. 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. 7. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end, the end of the people in the world. 18. Surely you did set them in slippery places. You cast us down into the destruction. 19. They are brought into desolation in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terror. 27. For lo, that they are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. Mamma mia. They prosper in the world and they increased in riches. But I went to God and I understood their end. They went in slippery places. They fell into destruction. Amazing. Luke 16:22-24. Look what happens to the people who try to make us feel inferior to them. They try to make us feel that we are nobodies and that they are better than us because of all their riches. Look what Jesus talks about them and tells about them. Luke 16:22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am tormented in this flame. Luke 16:22-24. The poor dies and goes with Abraham in the kingdom of God. Dies the rich. If you read the whole chapter,
It doesn't say that the rich man was with sins, adulterers, and whatnot kind of sins, that he was dishonest, that he was a criminal. No. It says only that he was selfish, nothing else. He was only selfish, nothing else. When the poor died, he went to God, and the rich went to Hades, in a place of torment. His only sin was accumulation of the rich man. He was accumulating. And he wasn't even giving a good plate of food to the beggar at his gate. He was collecting the what was falling from the rich man's table. I would say more or less we finished the message. Let's go with a conclusion. The conclusion is, yes, you can have a work and be a disciple and the bride of Christ, but if only in first place in your heart and in everything you do is always Jesus. You can work, but if your work glorifies Jesus. Let's read 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Amen. If you work, your work needs to glorify Jesus, okay? It's not just a smile, okay? Oh, I give a smile to my client and that's it. I give a smile to my clients. Please, don't talk to me about that. You need to mention Jesus. You smile and say, God bless you. And you talk about Jesus in your smiles, okay? And afterwards, you better have some fruits. You better have some people getting saved and some people getting healed, okay? Otherwise, it's not gospel. You need to have fruits of the preaching of the gospel. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Matthew 22:37. Amen. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Philippians 3:7-10. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. What things were gained to me, let's say your job in the world, you counted it loss for Christ. Verse 8, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Wow. 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Philippians 3:7-10. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. The devil is not afraid of preachers or churches or of you or of me. The devil is afraid of Christ. If we are not proclaiming, preaching, giving, exalting Jesus and only Jesus and everything Jesus and nothing else but Jesus, without any religious salt in your doctrine, then you are not a disciple and a preacher of the gospel and a true disciple. You are not like you should be. Okay, you need to work and pay your rent? Okay, but first Jesus.
first Jesus, first the gospel, and then whatever extra you have, it's for your rent. Not first your rent and your stomach, and then whatever is left over is to God. No, the other way around. And don't worry, God will take care of your needs. Okay? God will take care of your needs. Amen. Isn't it amazing the scriptures we read in Malachi that you bring lame sacrifices to God and God doesn't accept them? God doesn't accept the goat that has leprosy. You need to give your best to Jesus. Amen? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and afterwards everything else. Afterwards the money for your shoes will come. And if the money are not enough, then use your old shoes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And if you don't have money for diesel, then walk. Or hitchhike. Whatever is needed. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Wonderful message. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read for you a testimony right now. An email came 15 minutes ago from a sister. A sister, she said, don't mention my name. So we do it without a name. A beautiful sister. So this sister wrote to us. And she said, I want to give you a little testimony concerning working for Jesus. Concerning my personal situation. I heard very strongly to forsake my job to take care of my children. In the beginning, I was scared to do it. But afterwards, I saw God's blessings in my life. It seemed strange, but God blessed me. Somehow, I have more money than before. In my case, it was wonderful. I put God first. I put God first, and God is taking care of me, even financially. I do little things here and there, and God takes care of me. And I take care of my children, and now I even go around evangelizing. I want to give testimony that I think that if you don't have a fixed work, you'll be able to truly have more time for God, and God will provide your needs. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Nice testimony. Thank you, Jesus. She found a little job, this girl, to take care of some old people, and she evangelizes them, and they give a lot of money to her. How wonderful. Wonderful testimony. Thank you, Jesus. She did a step of faith for Jesus to leave her job and take care of the children. The Lord took care of her. She put God first, and God blessed her. She didn't even look for this job, she said in the email, this sister. They came and offered it to her, and now they're paying her. And she's taking care of this old lady, and she's evangelizing her. Wow. Praise the Lord. We love you, Jesus. Wonderful message. Lord, help us. Lord Jesus, Lord, help us. Lord, help us, Jesus, to put in practice this message. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. But before we close the program, I want to read you the testimony of the family of Alba. If you remember, dear brethren, we talked about it. She was killed for her faith. She was an ex-Muslim, got converted. The mother killed her because of the conversion. But after the daughter died, her two brothers and her dad got converted through her death. It's amazing. Her story is amazing. And now they write to us. We are Matteo, Isaiah, and I want to tell you that we went to Morocco and we stayed with our family there for a month. As soon as we arrived there, they realized that we changed. So we evangelized our family in Morocco. They were left with their mouth open, and they could see the joy we have, and they could see that we are changed. After 10 days of being there, all our family prayed to receive Jesus in their heart. After 10 days, all our family prayed to receive Jesus. It's amazing. It's amazing. We are shocked. But God used us to bring gospel to our family in Morocco. We wanted to bring the Bible to our homeland. and we didn't know how to do it. We didn't know how to do it to buy a bunch of Bibles, and we knew that if we bring Bibles in paper, we could be persecuted. But we had a revelation. We put the Bible on CD, and then we smuggled it in our bags, and we were able to give it, the Bible in CDs, to all our family. Now we're back in Italy, and we are so happy for what God did, and now we're continuing to study the Bible course and going evangelizing. We love you, Matteo, Giovanni, and Isaiah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. What a wonderful testimony. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, brethren, for the beautiful messages and testimony that you sent to us. It's really, really wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for how you grew in the Lord. I can see that you are growing in the Lord. I can see that you truly have salvation because you're giving it to others. Now you are evangelizing people even in Muslim countries. Amazing. Thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful sample. And we really, really want to bless you all, brethren, also who support us. You, brethren, who support us, because of you, we are able to give the Bible course for free to brethren like this. And because of your tithes and offerings which you send to us, we are able to help others for free and offer the Bible course for free. And we thank you for your support. Thank you for your blessing that you are to us. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful testimony.